In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
She's a good girl.
Just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. Drink beer with the guys and chase after girls.
Running through the yard,
I keep getting with you.
I'm
folks. Welcome to your Thursday episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your buddy, Ryan. And listen, we got a great show for you today. It's going to be a little bit of a different show than I had originally planned because life happens, you know? I mean, it truly does. But we have this amazing... Listen, I'm already making excuses. The classic me, you guys. Anyways, we started the show off with a mashup with Beyonce and Tom Petty with Free Falling. And here, I was listening to that back. I always like to listen to it right before I record this. You know, I'll go back and listen to it again, and I'll get all the feels. And I played that for two reasons. One, because Beyonce Renaissance, the tour, got announced today, all of the dates. And listen, I will probably not be able to get tickets because the government needs to step in. I mean, it happened once with Taylor Swift, and I feel like it's already happening again with this Beyonce. We're not going to be able to get tickets, and we're going to cry into our pillows. Oh, but I love her so much. I just already, you know, the tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. And then some people were saying they already found tickets on StubHub for $10,000. How you find tickets on StubHub when the tickets haven't even been released? Can you answer me that, Ticketmaster? And Ticketmaster just went to, they were up there at the old Washington, D.C., you know, the Senate, and everybody was questioning them because of the Taylor Swift stuff. And then this is going to happen just like 3 weeks after that? Have we learned nothing from Taylor Swift? Guys, Taylor Swift and Beyonce need to team up together and just take down the government. And sure, you can throw John Mayer in there too, because John Mayer tickets went on sale today for his solo tour. And I guess there was a bunch of snafus there as well. Listen, Ticketmaster, you got greedy. I know you're trying to make up for COVID and just you're actually greedy, but cut the shit. There should not be $80 worth of service fees on any kind of tickets. Are you kidding me? But I really like Beyonce. Listen, I even like songs like If I Were a Boy. I literally am a boy, and I still, it's like aspirational for me listening to that. Also, I was listening to that, and I want to make a plea to you guys with kids, or just you guys, don't let Tom Petty ever die. I mean, he's gone, he's passed away, but don't ever let his music die. I don't think it ever will, but it's up to us. We carry the torch of these people's music, right? This ain't like The Bachelor or people that used to be on Vanderpump Rules. These are people that gave such great art. I mean, man, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I mean, so many amazing songs. And it's important for us to carry this music and just make other people listen to it. Just like this podcast, make other people listen to it. But I just think music is just so damn important. You guys know, but it's one of those things. You're just like, damn, I want people to never forget these great musical artists out there. So here's the deal. Let me tell you a little story. Today's podcast, I was going to have you guys know Kendrick. Kendrick is just amazing. Kendrick Tucker from the podcast Reality and Comics 2. And he's just great. I love this dude. And we recorded for his podcast before we recorded for mine. And I mean, there's an hour podcast that's going to come out on Monday on his podcast that I think is one of my favorite. I just let loose. I was pissed about a couple of things, and we just went to town. And then we went over and did my podcast, and I got to tell you, it's just as good. I mean, we're just getting in there. We're talking about Salt Lake, not the reunion, because we recorded this right before the reunion. But we talk about Salt Lake, Miami, there's some Potomac throwing in there. We go all around the world. He talks about his podcast a little bit, which I think is great. And then we also talk about DC Comics. Don't roll your eyes. Listen, I thought it was going to be a much longer conversation about DC, but then we got talking about all these reality things. But we talk because DC Comics announced a whole new movie slate with Warner Brothers. And it's kind of a big deal in that they are kind of... you know, saying goodbye to everything that they've done in the past in regards to these superhero films. So Marvel Comics is a separate entity than DC. Now, I know this is very nerdy of me, but you know how much I love Batman. And also, I just think it's important to pay attention to what's going on in film and kind of these business moves and these huge properties. And also, because we've talked so much about Ezra Miller, and they are still standing behind Ezra Miller because of this damn Flash movie that they shot 2 years ago. And now they are saying, we're trashing everything that's come before except for Ezra Miller stays. And I just think, wow, what a bizarre way to usher in this new quote-unquote DC, where you're going to spend upwards of billions of dollars on all these properties, and you're going to kick it off with Ezra Miller? No offense to Ezra, but Ezra, you know, admittedly, they have some mental issues. And they also, I've tried to be kind when it comes to Ezra Miller, because I know they do have mental issues, and I have gone through my own mental health struggles. I mean, as we all have to some degree. But also, they have, you know, there has been alleged kidnapping. They have been arrested multiple times in multiple different locations. You know, and now we're seeing the power of these conglomerates, these big corporations that are helping this dude, helping them not serve jail time. Because if it was just a normal person, they would be in jail. And that is not the case with Ezra Miller. And you know, DC says that, and Warner Brothers says that Ezra Miller is committed to their mental health, and they're putting their best foot forward. I have yet to see it, but for anybody that is working on their mental health, it's hard. And just imagine how much harder it is to have hundreds of millions of dollars and all of these jobs at stake because of you. And I think that's just so much pressure, and it's probably not the best way for anybody to work on the stuff that they need to work on. So we talk a lot about that as well. So it's all over the map. Now, the other thing I wanted to tell you guys, and I talk about this in the beginning, that I thought I was going to also do a recap of tonight's Salt Lake City Part 2 of the reunion, the finality of Season 4. Now, we do talk a lot about Salt Lake because we were given the news that Mary Cosby is coming back as a friend of in the fourth season of Salt Lake. And we talk about our opinions on that. You know, we have differing opinions, but like this, you know, Kendrick is one of the guys, he's the reason why I want to keep podcasting, because you just have those damn good conversations where you're like, man, this is just great. This is just so fun to talk and so fun to talk to him. And it reminds me of, you know, talking to friends before the pandemic. Now I bring this up, you're like, whoa, Ryan, you just took a hard left. The reason I brought this, if you guys listen to the podcast, I talked on Monday how one of my best friends lost his father last week. And, you know, I'm going to go back for the funeral next week. But he got back into town with his family today. And I went over tonight after I recorded with Kendrick. And I went over and I was able to you know, I thought it was going to be a quick visit, but it ended up being 3 hours. And it was so needed for me, and hopefully it helped him a little bit, but he's a strong dude. And we were just able to really talk about his dad, talk about everything that's been going on. And then we started talking, you know, about how different our lives are since the pandemic. And I don't mean worse. You know, there's so many great things that have happened, not because of the pandemic, but during the pandemic. But it was one of those things that I was thinking of, like, I used to hang out with my friends so much more than I do now because, you know, everybody now has kids or families or kind of went off and did their own thing. And he was talking about, which I thought was a fascinating point, that we were already kind of headed in that direction in some ways already, like these things. Like, I was headed towards really not being happy at my job and wanting to start kind of getting more into podcasting and the stuff that I've always loved. And he was already starting to kind of, like, he was also my concert buddy. We would go to so many concerts together, and hopefully we will in the future more. But things are different. But it was nice, though, because I realize I haven't really lost anything, obviously. This guy is still my best friend. But I also, those things, being around these people, you know, it always gives you such great strength to be around your friends. But in a lot of ways, it could be a lot worse if I didn't have this podcast and you guys and conversations like I do today with Kendrick, where it, like, fills that kind of hole of, like, you know, ideas and passion and all of these things that make up a life, you know, is that we get to do this with this kind of stuff, you know? And hopefully you guys get something out of it too. So anyways, my basic thing is the dog ate my homework. We're not going to be doing a Salt Lake City recap tonight because, listen, this interview with Kendrick is already an hour long. And I'm going to do some stories up top, and that's going to be the show. It's already, you guys have 3 episodes before this just from this week alone. But what I am going to tell you is get ready for Friday, because we are going to do back-to-back. We're going to do a Salt Lake. Look how sexy my voice just got. Do you guys feel the deepness in this voice? I'm barely talking, but I have a feeling this is sexy. I actually don't even know what sexy is, but I feel like this is it. Is that on Friday, we're going to do the Salt Lake Part 2 recap, and then we're going to do a Miami recap, baby. So I'm going to show you what I fucking hate about Salt Lake and what I love about Miami, and you're going to be able to tell from one to the other, and that's going to be a blast. Probably going to be a little long, and I know some people in my life tell me not to be doing these long pods, and I get you, I feel you, and I agree with you to a degree, but Friday, we're going to rip that Band-Aid off. We're going to go a little long, and I want you guys to prepare for it. I want you to enjoy it. The people that like long podcasts and those that don't enjoy it, remember, there are timestamps, so you can skip by Salt Lake, and if you want to listen to Miami, and if you don't want to listen to Miami, you can just listen to Salt Lake. Also, up top tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be on Up and Adam Live with my good friend Adam Newell on his YouTube channel. You can get that link in my Instagram stories or just look Up and Adam Live on YouTube. We will be live at 9 a.m. and I can't wait. I've been talking with him on his YouTube channel about Salt Lake all season. So it's very fitting that I come back for this one. And his the people that watch his YouTube channel, the people that, you know, what a great audience he has. I mean, honestly, what a great audience. But remember, a lot of these episodes that we do over here are on our own YouTube channel as well. So Bad It's Good. So make sure you sign up for that. And also reminding you again, next Thursday, do not miss our Vanderpump Rules premiere party for season 10. This really sounds, do not miss. No, but really, sign up today, moment.co/SBIG. That's going to get you a ticket. It's 10 bucks. I think a couple more dollars after that, you can stay for the after party after, which is going to be even goofier than the show, if you can believe that. But I want you guys all to be there and party and have fun. I want to stress this is not a moneymaker for me. I'm going to be giving the money that I get from this to other people. So it's not that. I just want to do good for the company, and I want to have fun with you guys. I want to give you something a little special. And so come join in that. Remember, if you can't join us live, you have 2 weeks to watch it if you purchase it. And that's it. Okay. So those are the commercials. And then, like, if you like the podcast, leave it 5 stars. Blah, 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 blah. Let's go over a couple of pop culture stories. Now, this is an interesting one. Well, not interesting because he already did it. So this is like a bad sequel. Is that Tom Brady? Do you guys know him? He's a football guy. He announced his retirement again today on a beach. I'm going to play you the audio from this. Listen to this, you guys.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring.
Whoa.
For good.
You promise?
I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So
yeah.
I won't be long-winded. You only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year.
Yep.
So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Love you all. And then he did a bunch of pictures. Now here's that actually was a really nice message, right? I think we can all agree. I don't even like sports. Nice message. And then he wrote this thing underneath it. And he wrote, I love my family. I love my teammates. I love my friends. I love my coaches. I love football. I love you all. I am truly grateful on this day. Thank you. Listen, I wrote a poem like this in the third grade, you guys. This Tom Brady, you know, great football player, I hear, but not a great writer. I love my family. I love my teammates. I love my friends. Literally, this is the kind of shit they made me write in third grade of like, what can you write? Just say what you love. And you're like, I love my mommy. I love my daddy. I love my sister. I love my doggy. I love my books. And this guy is still writing at that third grade level. I think this guy has potentially been in the NFL for one season too long. The guy can barely string a poem together. Is this a poem? What is this? Is this a haiku? Okay, I'm just joking around. I know a lot of people are insanely passionate about Tom Brady. And are you guys going to go see 80 for Brady? The movie about Tom Brady that these older ladies, led by Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Sally Field, just an amazing cast. They're all over 80 and they're insane for Brady. And then they go to the Super Bowl. I'm fully in. I don't even like sports. But here's the sad part of this, or depending on how you look at it. And I was talking about this with my trainer today. We had a couple theories, and I try to talk sports with my trainer just so he knows I'm a guy's guy. I'm a man. Oh man, I think he probably thinks I'm just such a knob because I'll talk to him. I'll just talk to him about wild shit, just trying to impress him. So you know this, you know this Giselle Bündchen. So that is whatever, but they split up over this season because he retired and then he went back into the NFL. Like he hung out after he retired with his family for like a month and a half. And he was like, this sucks. I got to get back to the NFL. I need to get hit in the head because this sucks. And I think Giselle was like, what the fuck? We made these plans for your retirement and now you're reneging on us and the family. So really brutal. And like Pamela Anderson, who I said yesterday, how much I love that documentary. She said, I love these women that are like, listen, you made a promise to me. You broke it. I'm not staying with you. So she wrote under this epic poem that Tom Brady gave us today. She wrote, wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life. Oh my God. Like they literally have kids together and have been married for a long time. And she was like, I barely know you, sir. Good luck with everything. And it was like that thing you wrote in the yearbooks. Have a great summer. See you next fall. Even though I don't think she wants to see him next fall. But how brutal is that? Like, good luck on this next chapter in your life. XOXO. Oh my God, that would just brutalize me. But I mean, and no, you know, my dumbass, I'm reading this and I'm on comments by celebs page, which I love. And I see Giselle and my first thought is like, wow, Giselle from Potomac wrote that. That's interesting. Not because I'm dumb. And it was Giselle Bündchen. But listen, man. So this is what I was talking about with my trainer. This Tom Brady doesn't seem dumb, you know? And I'm like, did he go back to the NFL just to like kind of, you know, when we talk about some housewives, they'll go on the show to kind of get divorced. They'll go on the show to have the show expose their horrible relationship. Did Tom Brady go back to the NFL to force Giselle's hand and to force Giselle to divorce him because he wanted out so badly and he didn't have the balls to do it? So he was like, you know what? I will risk getting CTE and getting permanent brain damage for another season. But I just can't break up with Giselle to her face. So I need to go back to the NFL. I mean, like, listen, like he didn't even make the Super Bowl. He went back, didn't make the playoffs, right? His team. And I mean, think about that. This all happened in one season. Just that desire, that passion to play. I mean, that blows me away. That's this, like, football itself doesn't really blow me away, but that kind of psychology blows me away. That's the shit where I'm like, get Andy and a camera over there now. Okay, so that happened today. I thought that was fascinating. I will say really briefly too about the Salt Lake City. The part two just enraged me as much as part one. I think Heather Gay is potentially psychotic at this point, allegedly. We'll go more into that on Friday. There's a bunch of examples, but I just don't. This boo-hoo, woe is me. Like, I'm a feeling person. I truly am. But this stuff is just. And then I read some tweet that I was like, is this a joke tweet of like saying Meredith and Heather served at the reunion? Served what? Jen Shaw's agenda? What are you fucking taught? They carried. Carried what? All of like Jen Shaw's baggage? What are you talking about? They carried. I thought that was one of the more awkward Meredith Marks episodes ever. And I'm even including the stuff with Mary Cosby. There is definitely was a shift with both of these ladies and how they handled Jen Shaw. And you can say a lot of the reasons. We'll go into the reasons why Meredith says she changed her opinion on Friday, but it just doesn't still add up to me. I'll let it go. And we talk about Mary Cosby coming back with Kendrick here in a second. So it'll be very interesting. Also, did you guys like MILF Manners, Kelly Mortensen? And you know what's so funny? Somebody else from MILF Manor DM'd me. And they're like, hey, what's going on? How about me on the show? I was like, now I've got these other MILF Manor ladies, cast members, into my DMs. And I'm like, look at this. Who would have predicted? Oh, I guess this is kind of breaking news, but kind of not, because listen, I don't know how to tell you guys this. I think Tom Girardi might be a bad guy. I think there might be some impropriety going on. because anyways, he was indicted today. And you're like, wait, I thought we indicted him a couple of years. No, it's just been rolling. Like, oh, there's just charges and charges and charges. But also his son-in-law, David Lira, got indicted as well, who is married to Tom Girardi's daughter. And, you know, he, of course, is allegedly suffering from Alzheimer's. So he will not see any jail time, even though this does carry a heavy, heavy, heavy penalty. They caught up with Erica Jane at the Burbank Town Center, which I know very well, the mall. I will say this, too, and just off topic, and I still have to read that one of my listeners' DMs about Ozempic, because I thought it was just such a great thing that she said. But I made this post today because I made a funny post of what about an ultimate girls trip where all these ladies compete for a lifelong supply of Ozempic. And it was a joke, but I do want to say, isn't it just odd that in the last year alone, we've had more celebrity weight loss than I would say in the 10 years before that? Everybody is all of a sudden getting this gaunt look again. And I know they're working out and eating right and blah, blah, blah. But come on, guys. Isn't it weird? Like, I'm looking at this photo of Erica Jane right now at the Burbank Town Center, and even she is starting to look gaunt. And Erica is a beefy woman. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, that is like a voluptuous, like I do. I personally love, God, now I sound like a fucking, I love curves and things like that. You know, I don't love this gaunt look at all. Not that anybody's trying to impress me. It's just, now I'm just digging a hole deeper. Anyways, Erica Jane was spotted at Burbank Town Center, and whoever was there talked to her and said,
"I have something to say, but not right now. You'll hear from me soon. I'm not worrying about myself. I'm Erica Jane. I'm getting dick."
So I guess we'll hear very soon from whatever Erica wants to say this time. I don't know. You'll hear from me soon. It always feels like threats. Like, what, Erica, are you going to take a page out on Jen Shaw's website?
This is Erica's corner where I talk about my feelings.
Anyways, I don't really care about the, like, I already know Tom Girardi's a criminal. I don't really think too highly of Erica Jane. I think the most surprising thing here when I was reading this was looking at these pictures, and I'm saying she looks gaunt. Like, compare these photos to Erica Jane from 6 months ago. And you could say, oh, it's stress, but she's been under more stress, I would imagine, the year and a half prior to this. You know, when she'd been like,
I woke up with Taco Bell wrappers strewn all over my naked body. Mikey had to get all of it off and put a vacuum cleaner all over my boobs to get all those beans and cheese off.
Jeez. but anyways, that happened. Listen, I mean, I really don't know. It's just, yeah, he's a really bad criminal. No shock there anymore. I guess we'll just find out how much more of a criminal he is and how many other people get taken down because of him. So that is yet to be determined. Yeah, that's it, you guys. Let's just get on to the show because we have an amazing guest. I got to tell you, I talk about him a lot in the opening, but I think this guy is just top notch. You know the podcast, and if you don't, you got to listen to it. This guy is awesome. The podcast is Reality and Comics 2, and it's just a perfect blend, in my opinion. Also, at the very beginning, I call him Kendrick Turner, I think, when his actual name is Kendrick Tucker. And the sad thing was, you guys, he has a background with his name. And I was like, yeah, Reality and Comics too. Here he is, Kendrick Turner, when I was literally reading his name. And that just shows you how frazzled I am lately. But regardless, this is just a great conversation. I know you are going to love it and love him. So here we go. I will talk to you on Friday for a big old solo recap. With your big dude, Bailey, Ryan Bailey. Go get your tickets for the Vanderpump Rules premiere party, you guys, and I'll talk to you Friday. Here he is. You guys, I'm so excited to talk to our next guest, so much so that I just talked to him for an hour before this, because I'm on his show on Monday, and I just had one of the best conversations I've had in forever. I've had some really good conversations, but I had a blast. I was just texting with my friend going like, oh my God, I just went off. And of course, he chose me to start Black History Month on his show, which I think is just such a great choice. For me to do that, I think it's an obvious choice, but nonetheless, I enjoyed myself. So on Monday, I'm going to have you guys go listen to this, because I'm telling you, we go through it in terms of Bravo. We unleash our furies. And so this is going to be a conversation where we're going to talk a little Salt Lake, talk, you know, what he's watching, stuff like that. But we're also going to talk about something about DC Comics and Warner Brothers. And you're like, Ryan, I don't even like comics. You don't have to like comics to be able to appreciate what we're going to talk about, because they announced a whole new slate of films. They're basically saying what we've done in the past sucks, and we are now giving it over to these two men. And they did a presentation with their whole new slate of films for the next 8 to 10 years. And it's really wild when something doesn't work that could make money and how much gets invested in these things. We see this with Bravo as well. So I think it's something that we do need to talk about. And you know, I love streaming, I love movies, I love comics, and so does our guest. You know him from the hit show, which, by the way, is now signed with iHeartRadio and Cloud 10. You know his name is Kendrick Turner, but the show is called Reality and Comics 2. So welcome back, Kendrick Turner. What's up, dude?
Kendrick Tucker.
And by the way, guys, this is how messed up I am. I'm reading his last name right behind him on the video screen, and my mind transcribed it to Turner. I'm losing my mind lately. The audience can attest to that. Okay, so Bindrick Burner is with us today, and Bindrick is going to. What's up, dude? By the way, I just yelled and screamed on your podcast for an hour, so
it was amazing.
Thank you for doing. Oh no, really? I mean, I was. There are certain things that really get me juiced up for like doing this. And that was so much fun. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So a little bit about you, just to remind people, tell me about your show, Reality and Comics 2, because you really are a blend. And we were talking about that at the end of your show about, I think that's it, you know, is that all of us love so much, even, you know, the listeners out there, we love even more than just Bravo. So it's really cool. Tell me how would you describe your show?
Man, you know what? I've kind of taken on the moniker. If you can't tell, I'm a comic book fan. I've kind of taken on the monikers like the boyfriend and girlfriend's podcast in a way, because like so many people reach out to me and say that like I started listening for the Bravo stuff, but now I can talk to like my kids and someone else about comics because I listen to you. And so like it's a place where you come and you can like. I watch everything, first of all. Like it doesn't matter. I watch it, whatever you think it is. I watch it. So like I'm obsessed with Marvel. I'm obsessed with like all things HBO. I watch all the Netflix crap. I watch Hulu. I watch everything. So my bread and butter, of course, is I love reality TV. So I talk Housewives. I talk Bachelor. I talk Love. I love me some Love Island. Don't play. I'm an Ek and Sue slut. So
which, by the way, you guys, new season, he pointed this out to me, is now on Hulu. Like I was saying, like you might want to get a VPN, but now you don't have to, because it took 2 weeks. Now the overseas show has started on Hulu, so you can dip your toe in the Love Island water, and we're both huge fans of Love Island.
Yes, always make sure, I always tell people, if you're going to watch on Hulu like I do, you got to kind of block out some of the stuff on social media, because it's always trending when it's on, so you will get something ruined for you fast. So make sure you block it out, just watch the show, talk to your friends about it, don't let them over there ruin it for you, ruining the surprises, because somebody that you're rooting for to go home just might be going home and it might get ruined for you. So just stick to it. But I love everything over there. I talk all things. I love bringing people on to talk Bravo, to talk Marvel, to talk anything. I'll talk about anything.
I think I know that, but like, explain to people why you got into podcasting. How long has it been now? And what got you started?
So I've wanted to do it for God knows how long. Cause I'm just like, I got into like the true crime era. Cause like I was watching like stuff on TV and I'm like, okay, this isn't enough. Like when I go to the park I need to be able to listen to something about me getting murdered in the park. So like I found podcasts. I found all kinds of podcasts. Wait, and stuff.
I need to feel danger. I need to feel danger and that I possibly could be murdered listening to this podcast.
Absolutely. If you haven't felt fear until you've listened about like somebody in your exact scenario being murdered. It's like, oh God, this is haunting. So like I was finding like, you know, that stuff. And so I was like, I got into that stuff, but for some reason I didn't make the connection that like, people talked about anything in podcasts. Like I always thought it was just like certain like genres and stuff. So like, I didn't know there was this big like reality TV base out there. So I was like, you know what? I've constantly been saying I'm going to try this. And then boom, the world upended in 2020. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my research. I'm going to get a good microphone. I'm going to, you know, tell Xfinity to stop cutting out every other day. I'm going to do it. And so I ended up
Kendrick, what do you mean? What do you mean by world upturn? Do you mean just a bad Roni season? What do you mean? What happened in 2020?
That too. But you know, you know, we all started working
the pandemic. By the way, this is how we really should take the pandemic seriously. Cause if this happens again, we're going to have another 1,000 new podcasts. So we really got to make sure we wash our hands. We be careful because we're on the verge of having way too many podcasts without another pandemic.
Oh my God. We literally, it's so crazy because I feel like I've made so many friends in this space, but then like they've just gone away. They're like, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm like, no, where'd you go? Where are you? Yeah. I started.
Pussy, get back here. Yeah. No, it's like, by the way, we're the island of misfit toys where you know, like I always say, like, listen, this is it for me. Like I'll go down with this ship. Like this, mm-hmm. I mean, I will, you know, it's like the music people on the Titanic just playing until the ship goes down. Like I have no other plan at this point in place. So you just cover everything. You love everything, which I think is also awesome because you got to love it to a degree to be able to talk about it and to be able to give your opinions. We talk on his show on Monday a lot about what we're disliking with reality shows right now and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think we had a really amazing conversation that I'm not going to dip too much into because it's over there in all its glory. But I will, you know, we were talking about Salt Lake tonight. And by the way, right after this, you guys, I'm going to do a recap of the second part and final part of the Salt Lake reunion. Thank God. We were talking about Mary Cosby possibly coming back to the show. And then we got done with that. You went to walk your dog. And all of a sudden I open up the old Instagram and Mary Cosby has been hired back to the show as a friend of. Now, what do you think about this? Because I had said on your show that I was like, listen, that's great if she comes back, but it doesn't really fix the fundamental flaws of this show so far, thus far. But what do you feel?
I think they're headed in the right direction. People that listen to me know, for some reason, I found Mary Cosby to be one of the funniest people on TV. I don't know what it was, but she was just hilarious in every aspect, especially season two. You could tell that season one, she was supposed to be a friend of, and then they kind of shoehorned her into the show because she really didn't have scenes with
they like
people.
Had her show up. They kind of had her show up, but people wouldn't talk to her. It was and like I said, she was kind of like Kyle Cook, where she was like doing monologues to herself in her closet, or, you know, she would talk to the mannequin heads in season two. And I was like, but by the way, still very entertaining talking to the mannequin heads.
Absolutely. I'm of the mind that I'm so happy that she's coming back. I don't think it fixes the problem entirely, though, because it concerns me that they're about to start filming the new season in a couple of weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. That's insane to me. Like you could not have solved this problem because I mean, he's a whole criminal, but Jen Shaw was a huge part of this show. That's a big void to fill. You've really got to like kind of figure out where you're going to go and who you're going to get. My personal opinion, and this might be crazy as hell, but season one, we found out that like Heather and Lisa had friends in common that like would go between to tell rumors about each other. Get one of those friends on the show. Like, I want to know why you thought Heather was a good time girl. I want to know what you think about a blowjobs for jazz tickets. Like, get this girl on the show immediately.
Guys, you didn't like, that's what pissed me off about the third season is that you didn't dive into any of the shit you set up. You can't just drop blowjob for jazz tickets and then just drop it. Like, I just don't understand in any reality. I don't care what Jen Shaw did. That has nothing to do with blowjob for jazz tickets. And I'm like, why are we not mining this? You're like, you set off a bomb and then you just forget about it.
Well, I got to ask you now, because which, if you had to, you know, suppose we go down with the ship, we're on the Titanic, we can't do podcasting anymore. Now you have to work for a nonprofit. Are you working for blowjobs for charities, or are you working for homeless, not toothless?
I'm huge into teeth. I'm going to do the tooth, because like homeless, not toothless, you get to meet celebrities. You get a, yeah, you know, like you're in the, you get to go backyard dinners where, well, now Rena won't be screaming anymore at Sutton. But like, listen, I want to see Melissa Etheridge scared of a bunch of Beverly Hills ladies singing, you know, come to my window. I think I got to go homeless, not toothless, even though Blowjob for Jazz Tickets is done so much amazing work for so many people that have needed blowjobs.
Exactly.
No. Yeah, no, I think, well, this is the thought that just occurred to me, is Jen Shah goes into prison February 16th, right?
Yes.
So they're starting to film, I believe, February 15th. Would you want to see Jen Shah go into prison?
Ooh, I had not thought about that, but you know, I put it on there, give her that one check, send it to the victims, but also it's kind of like the reverse Teresa Giudice, where we saw her coming home from prison. And so like, let's send somebody off. We haven't done that in reality TV yet. Let's send somebody off to jail. Then we'll do another check-in in 6.5 years, see how it goes. I'm here for
it. I disagree with you. I want her story done. I don't want, yeah. I feel tying yourself to Jen Shah is like tying yourself to the Titanic. You need, yeah, to cut ties. I don't want to see her go in. I don't. And also, especially after the shit she pulled with DearJenShah.com, not giving the interview to Andy. I take that kind of stuff really personal, because I'm like, how dare you? Like, this is one of the only places that is willing to pay you money, and you're going to act now that, like, also it's what we talked about on your show that comes out Monday, you guys, is that I want to spend my time watching things that are pseudo real. And then, yeah, Jen in all the court documents says how fake these shows are. She's just playing a character. Then I don't want you here. I don't want you to have to put on a performance. Mm-hmm. I want to see people that are willing to be themselves on these shows. And I feel like that Salt Lake has gotten so far from that. I mean, yeah, I almost wanted Mary Cosby to come back for the reunion, not even having been on the season this far. She just watches the episodes and comes in and goes, you're annoying, you're this, you're that. Like, I would have loved her just to critique the ladies that were there, you know?
Absolutely. I'm still sad that we never got that, what is it, Talking to Mary Cosby podcast or whatever the hell it was called. Like, I was waiting for that shit every week. We never got it.
Oh, I listened to one episode. She wasn't even in it. Like, I think the guy kept going like, yeah, Mary's going to be here in a second. And I was like, I listened to it. Like, then I started fast forwarding, and it was like an hour and 15 minutes, and they had all these music breaks. And I was like, what is going on here? But Mary Cosby is an enigma wrapped in a riddle that I don't think, but I will say also, I hope Mary really thought this out. I hope her grandfather, husband really thought this out, because when you do these shows, you shine a light on everything that you do, business and elsewhere. And so just think about what we were talking about when Mary Cosby was on the show. And just remember, we don't know what's happened since. And I just, with the Jen Shah of it all, the Erica Jane of it all, I hope that they have thought that through. And I hope Bravo did too. Like, I hope Bravo thought that through as well.
That's always, and you know what? Now it's not even people that that necessarily like have any allegations against them too. Now, just when I see people on Housewives that are too rich, I'm just like, oh, what are you doing? What's going on?
I want to give one example right now, but I think I might be interviewing them, so I don't want to say it yet. But like, there's a couple examples where now I get really nervous, because don't you remember watching Beverly Hills with Tom Girardi and being like, wow, I didn't know lawyers made that much. Like, yeah, I knew they were really, but like, I didn't know that much. And I remember getting a little kind of like, and then it's always those things that you have like that voice in your head and you're like, well, I'll just push that aside. That doesn't really matter. And same thing with Jen Shah and her business. When she started describing what she did, I was like, that sounds weird. And then all of a sudden I would focus on Mary Cosby being weird and would take away from whatever she said. But it's exactly, like, you've got to listen to those little voices, you know?
Exactly. And I'll give you one example that I have right now, but I only give it to you. I don't even know if this is the person you might have on, but I'll give you this person solely because I don't think it anymore. So initially, I was a little nervous for Dr. Nicole in Miami. And it was because, oh gosh, your friend. I was a little nervous just because I was like, holy shit, they're loaded. Like, whenever someone pops up with a private plane,
Anthony has a picture of himself on the side of the plane that he owns.
Yes, it's like, it's the opulence is just so much. But then when she pulled out that Amex card, I'm like, okay, you got to do some background checks and stuff with that. So
is that true with the American Express Black Card? They have to, but I can guarantee you Tom Girardi had an American Express Black Card, don't you think?
Oh,
I want to see. They said like,
see, I don't want, I, like, I think everything's on the up and up. I'm very excited. I think Dr. Nicole's amazing. I think everybody's amazing. And but I'm just going to enjoy this season of Miami, which you, by the way, you said you're enjoying just as much as I am.
Oh yes. I'm loving everything Miami. I don't think there's one weak link, and I love a cast. Normally a cast this big, I don't necessarily like, because that really means that you need those people in order for the show to function. But, you know, I'm always impressed when like just a solid 6-person cast can like deliver the hell out of a show. But all 9 of these people, they're so good, because literally like 3 of them won't appear in the episode. And it's still a fantastic episode, because no matter what the relationship, like who in the world would have guessed that Kiki and Julie of all people were beefing this season? Like, where the hell did that come from? So it's just, you never know who's going to be fighting with who. You pick at this one out of a hat and this one hates this one. You're fighting in front of therapists. It's just all good stuff. I'm having a great time in Miami.
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You got to do the food. You got to do the food tasting. You got to book the venue, talk about the DJ. And then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
I mean, I hate sports, but I hear with sports, though, is that like that's when you know you have a good team, is when you can kick it out to anybody and they're going to run with that ball, and, you know, they're going to run with that football or basketball or whatever ball they're going to run with it. And I think that Miami right now, I could watch any of those ladies and be entertained. And that's always just a sign of a damn good show. Even Larsa, which, by the way, what do you think about Larsa dating Michael Jordan's son?
Oh, it is.
By the way, we haven't seen on the show. We haven't seen on Miami yet, but I'm excited to potentially see him because they're officially dating now.
And you know what? I think he popped up on Watch What Happens Live with her, didn't he? Wasn't she?
Yes, he was in the audience. He was in the audience. Yeah. He was in. But they were still quote unquote friends at that time. Now they're officially dating.
Oh God, I hate comments like about age. See, when I talk about like age difference and stuff, it's a difference to me, like in my opinion, after 25, all bets are off, date whoever, you know, whatever. But like sometimes where it gets kind of creepy for me is that like, if you knew that person when they were a kid, it's like, oh, that's a little weird. I don't know. It makes me a little icky, but I mean, they're both consenting adults now.
She had to have been at practice with Michael Jordan's kids at a certain
point. Right.
There's no way she doesn't know that kid from when he was an actual kid.
It's hard to like, I don't know, to me at least, it seems hard to just like form this attraction to someone that you've seen like have an asthma attack after basketball practice or was eating a Lunchable or something. Like, how do you, I don't understand that. It's like, no, it's a little creepy. This is like I just try not to think.
And listen, I love, but this is like a messed up version of The Notebook or so. I mean, like, I love that Lars is like, I finally found my man. He just happens to be Michael Jordan's son. And my ex-husband used to be Scottie Pippen. And they have like, I mean, that to me is just, what a way to get under somebody's skin in like a really new, inventive, horrific way. Like, it's this like is the like a time travel wife. It's like an A24 horror film. It's like, can you imagine like something feeling worse than like you're a successful basketball player and then you date your guy that you like, you know, like a duo with, you're dating their son? Oh
man.
I'm not saying Scotty didn't do something, anything wrong in the relationship. I just think it's, that's next level to me.
Yeah. I couldn't, you know, like if we had some worked out like financially, there might be some like Michael Darby, no, stop dating Luke type shit. It's like, because in my opinion, which is, I'm so off base now, but in my opinion, I genuinely think that like Ashley and Mike and Luke never stopped talking, but Michael Darby got like so involved that it was like, okay, we need to make this publicly go away. We can still chat, but like Michael Darby is grown. And I feel like Scottie Pippen wants to be there, but he's like, you know what? What the fuck ever now? Like whatever. Like you, how do you stop that? How do you even, I don't know. That would be the first thing I think about when I woke up in the morning. Like, what are you doing?
Michael Darby and the Luke thing. I always just like, you know, it's like he's, you know, we always make fun of Michael Darby. It's like being like a Gollum type figure. And it's like, you know, I just love that he was still like, give me that Nuva ring, Ashley. I need to have, I am the one. Precious. Yeah, precious. Do you have any dick pics of Luke? You know. Okay. So back to Salt Lake. We quit, wrap up with that. Real quick, what do you think about Heather this season? And will you be reading Bad Mormon, her book that comes out pretty soon?
Ooh, okay. So I won't be, simply because I don't want to, but pretty straightforward answer. But no, I'm okay. I'm about to lose some of y'all here, but I'm in the minority that I kind of like Heather's villain era. Like, I feel like they needed somebody to be like kind of polarizing this season. And I like that she lost me, like she lost everybody else with this black eye thing, though. But up until that point, when they were like the constant like dinner parties were, I mean, it was riveting TV to me. Like the constant argument at the luau, the Marilyn Monroe dinner. I was like, this is great TV. Like, I'm glad that Heather is, I don't know what role she's playing right now, but she's fitting it well. But then when we got to the point where,
call it villain, though, I think it's late. Like, right. Villain. I mean, if anything, she's a lazy villain. She's a villain that it doesn't work. I mean, she's a villain that I don't think her moves are so heavy handed and sloppy. And I mean, maybe she'll grow into it. But to me, it was kind of like, really? And then I don't know. It just, like, I've seen people like, and I hate to even give Rinna a compliment, but Rinna can villain. Rinna's like, can be a villain or knows how to be a villain. But Heather, to me, I was just like, well, if this is a villain, this is really one of the lazier villains I've ever seen on TV. And I watched Salt Lake I thought, wow, what a bizarre show. I was like, this is truly a bizarre season. And so I enjoyed it up until the eye stuff. And then I kind of was like,
same.
Wow. And then it was like, we really weren't talking about Jen in the way that it deserved to be talked about. Yeah. It made, like I said, it made the Beverly Hills ladies look like private detectives and how they dealt with Erica comparatively. You know, it was like, wow, they really grilled Erica compared to this.
Right. It's so like, I literally, the first couple of episodes bored me to tears. I was barely paying attention. But once they got to like the trip where like, you know, the, you lost me, bitch, like that whole stuff. And then like the stuff going through like that stuff.
I like Heather manhandling Whitney. She'd be like, you lost me. You lost Heather Gay. And like she would obviously be drunk and she would just move Whitney like a Lego thing. She would be like, rah! It was like when Hulk would Hulk out, and it was just funny. It was just really funny.
It was perfect. I loved all of that. The black eye stuff lost the hell out of me too. So she'll definitely need to rebound next season. But this reunion performance for her so far, I don't know what the hell is going on, because she's like, no, I wanted an investigation. No, I'm too embarrassed for an investigation. No, I was drunk. No, I wasn't drunk. I'm like, okay,
Heather plays shit her way. Like, we even saw it in the scenes from like the San Diego episode of like, hey, Jen, if you want him to stop talking about you, just throw it my way with the black guy. And then she was like doing that weird slapping on the ass motion, which I thought was so gross. Like, I was like, this is wild. And, to me, now we've hit a point with Heather where it's like, I hope the production sits her down and go, hey, we got it. Okay. Let us do the show. And all you need to do is show up and be you, but we got it. Like, don't try to plot things. Don't try to like tell people to talk. Like, we got it. We got it, Heather. Like, you know, just chill out a little bit.
Do you think that this investigation getting launched is going to play against her next season? Like, do you think that their like production is like secretly pissed off? They're like, okay, we just have to like literally investigate our own people because you're lying, saying that, you know, all this stuff.
I'm sure the production isn't really psyched about Heather in a lot of ways, but I think, you know, listen, they're there to do a job at the end of the day. I think they'll be able to get past it. I just think people will be more hesitant around Heather, maybe.
Yeah.
And Heather has a book to sell. There's a lot. I mean, I think it's unfortunate. Not unfortunate. Well, I mean, it is unfortunate for her that I think a lot of people just really dislike Heather all of a sudden. But I think that's what happens when you kind of, you know, act like a real person for the first two seasons. And then the third season, you completely change courses. And I think the blind following of Jen Shah, it's like property of Jen Shah is like Heather Gay's motto. And I think that's kind of like, well, I don't know if I'm super interested in like anything that you say at this point, you know, like I'll be curious. Like I'm not. And also this, that bullshit, like you said about the reunion of her going, I was ashamed. I have a lot of Mormon shame. I'm like, really? Because you have Mormon shame and that's why you didn't tell us about the black eye, but you have no problem being on film, jamming your tits up against Jen Shah's tits and like filming that. And like, that's fine. That's no shame there, but this black eye, I can't, it's too far. You guys, it's too much. And I'm like, God. The black eye, if anything, would be like, yeah, like tell us about that. That's not shameful. We all get drunk and we all do stupid things if you fell into a sink or whatever. The shit that I would not want on TV is the bumping uglies with like literally holding Jen Shah on like and just thrusting on her. That's the stuff that I'm like, you know what? Maybe this would be weird for my kids. So I didn't buy that because I'm like, okay, but that's cool, but that's not. That's the kind of stuff that confuses me. And it shows me she's continuing on with this bullshit narrative of trying to cherry pick what she gives us, just kind of like Robin Dixon did this week.
And it's been so, our timelines have been in shambles this week because of this Robin Dixon thing. And I've been out of it because, you know, people want to beat me up. They call me the third green eyed bandit. So I've been getting beat up left and right just because I've been minding my business.
Our friend Samaj is a green eyed bandit too. And like, listen, yes. You guys should feel shame. Shame has been ushered into your house this week. Because what do you feel about these reality shows? And then I don't care if you're a fan of her. Do you think this was like the proper way to go about things? I mean, do you kind of like, go girl, give us no storyline and then wait until a podcast?
So I feel a lot of ways about a lot of the stuff I'm seeing online. So that absolutely should have been on camera because you're on a reality show. I get her saying that because I think the problem with Potomac is they are formulaic now because you know that you show up, you expect people to bring certain shit up about you because everyone in the off season goes and tries to dig up as much dirt. They bring any DM, like it can be a random account with one follower, one following. And then they take that as like holy grail. They'll take it and throw against someone, all this stuff. And so I get the mindset of I was waiting for somebody to bring it up, but also it's something that if this was really like, okay, if y'all had worked through it in that short amount of time between season 6 and 7, then fine. But it's hard to believe that it wouldn't come up naturally at some point. Like there's got to be like some awkwardness in the house. It's about something or there's got to be something. You say you've worked through
the house that Bravo built. And by the way, you've lost me as an embellished hat customer, Robin. I'm done. No more embellished hats for me. But what do you like about Rob? I guess why are you a green-eyed bandit stan? And by the way, for you guys that don't know, green-eyed bandits are Giselle and Robin.
Yeah, so I've always liked them the most on Potomac simply because I feel like one of the things I like about Housewives are Housewives that don't do too much on social media and they just like do their crap on the show. And I kind of like that because some people, it takes me out of it when I'm watching a show and all during the week, someone's talking about the show and this and that. And then, you know, this person, and I'm like, oh God, it makes me not want to watch the show. So I like people that do their job and go home. And I feel like they do that a lot. And I feel like they are two of the messiest people on TV. And anyone that knows me, I always tell people, if you start to like the housewives that I like, it's probably a problem. So you need to kind of reevaluate yourself, because I tend to like the messy people, the ones that start a lot of like, that's just the, you know, my brand of ridiculousness. So I do like them. Plus they invited me on their podcast once. So like, I'm forever indebted in y'all for being
wow.
Nice.
So you're like Big Pharma, but like Big Green Eyed
Paid
Bandit.
And bought.
Like you're bought by Big Green Eyed Bandit. Well, isn't it funny though? I was saying this to the audience yesterday's show. I said, isn't it funny that also if you think back, Giselle kind of did a very similar thing a couple seasons ago with the Jamal. Is that was all kind of a shady, like, was that a lie? Them getting back together. He was obviously with other women. You know, you had Jamal going on of like, I got receipts myself. I was doing that old thing. And I was like, but then again, like,
that was a wild night. Truth.
We didn't get the real truth from Giselle that season either. And even Karen called her on that as well. So I think it's very funny that these two women, they really can dish it out, but they certainly do not want to share real moments or their L's, their losses, if you will, you know.
And I'll take it a step further. I actually think that honestly the core four is sometimes a little tricky, the Robin, Giselle, Ashley, Karen of it all. Because if you know, for all of us that have been watching Potomac since the beginning, we all know Karen does not tell the truth about most things, but we just kind of laugh it off and we go along with it. Ashley tells the truth mostly because she has to, because her stuff is constantly getting brought out, like, you know, the Daily Sun. Oh, Michael's naked in another hotel room. We've got to talk about it. So she has no choice but to talk about her truth. So it does sometimes make you wonder, like, how do we get back to like where these shows began? Like, oh, God, don't go back to the etiquette season. Like, nobody wants to talk about etiquette, but like, how do we get back to like the root of, you know, everyone being their most authentic selves on camera? And nowadays, we talk about it on my podcast, we don't even know if that's possible anymore with new cast members or old.
I think it's gone too far. I mean, like, I really am curious to see what, if anything, gets instituted and changed. But at the end of the day, we're so obsessed with these things. But I always wonder if the people remember NBC Universal and all that stuff. At the end of the day, that this is just a paycheck for them too. This is just product to put commercials on top of and to get paid. So it's not like NBC Universal is like, how can we make this the best season ever? They're like, how can we sell advertisements on the, how can we sell Shannon Bedore and post whatever postage company she does commercials for, like,
right.
Those are the things, like, how can we integrate these products? So anyway, okay, so we already went so far on this, we need to get to the DC of it all. And I want to once again say, don't be scared, we're going to talk some nerdy comic books, superheroes, but we're also talking about the business, which I think everybody should pay attention to, because with the invention of streaming and even with Bravo, you know, airing a lot of their shows on Peacock exclusively, and, you know, what they call a slate, which is what they have to offer the audience in the next year. So basically what was happening is that Warner Brothers is doing the same thing. They own the rights to DC. Now, Marvel has been kicking ass since Iron Man, and everything has just come together, even though sometimes now I feel like, holy shit, they're so deep into this. You got to know multiverses. You got to know all of these. You know, we did the Infinity, like the rings and all that shit. Now we're starting a new phase with Quantumania and Ant-Man, which is going to introduce Kang.
Which Jen Shaw is going to miss by one day. God damn it, Jen. If you could only
held
off to the 17th.
People were messaging me, and I don't think it's in Jen Shaw's prison, but people were like, yeah, my cousin's in prison and he gets to watch Vanderpump Rules in there. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
And then this one prison, you can buy iPads through them. And I was like, wait a sec, what is going on? Oh, dude, I was like, oh, it was so frustrating. And but good for them. So anyways, by the way, Marvel really hasn't made too many missteps. In fact, they keep getting bigger, which I think is the more complicated thing to do.
Yeah.
But DC has never been able to really have a cohesive group of movies or a universe. They tried to do it with Zack Snyder, who did the Batman versus Superman, Justice League, which got cut up to shit. And then HBO released a 4.5-hour Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, which was better. But, you know, and then this Flash movie with Ezra Miller has gone through so many iterations. God. And Ezra Miller, they have been so problematic in terms of their personal lives. And this Flash movie, they're banking on to reset the entire DC universe from this announcement. So, Kendrick, will you explain who they gave the keys to DC? Because they're starting pretty much from scratch in a lot of ways. But who did they give the keys to the kingdom to?
So I always forget the other guy's name. I think it's Peter. Is it Peter Safran?
Peter Safran.
Yeah. But the one you guys need to know, because obviously you probably, if you watch the DC movies and you probably watch Marvel stuff too, the other guy who's really kind of taking charge is he's a co-head or co, you know, Kevin Feige, as we call him. It's James Gunn. So he's the guy that did this. If you don't know, most of the like offshoot one-off movies in DC, mostly they're pretty great. It's the ones that are in the DC, they're like they're connected universe that are all just a mess. So like the Batman, fantastic. The Suicide Squad, great movie. Like you have these one-off stuffs, but they need to they're trying to build a connected universe, because obviously Marvel has kind of laid down the groundwork. That's the success plan. That's what all these people want to do. That's why you have like The Boys on Amazon now. They've got a spinoff coming and it's going to be a whole thing. They've got the animation
extended
now.
Universe. It even goes over to Bravo. Think about that. Like extended universe just means like Winterhouse. It's a mixture of Southern Charm and Summer House. Like, you know, you know, even Bravo is
girls
dipping their toes into a, you know, to a, yeah, exactly. Ultimate Girls Trip. So they have their own like Bravo universe. So these things, and by the way, don't get it twisted of like some art and stuff. Like we want to believe it's art, but at the end of the day, this is a huge way to make money. They invested a lot of money. And they've blown it because a lot of things just didn't add up. So James Gunn, who did the Guardians of the Galaxy and Suicide Squad for DC, he's you know, he's a lover of comic books. They hand it to these two guys, and they've been working on it for a couple of months. And then this week, James Gunn finally did his presentation of their first like phase one, I guess you would call it. It's called Gods and Monsters, is what they're kind of titling this phase of it. And by the way, don't you think it's funny that like I'm like, what if one of these bombs is like Warner Brothers gonna be like, peace, like you can't complain, you know, like like are they gonna stick by if these things start bombing immediately?
That's the big question, because obviously, you know, people will go see the Superman movie, you know, that probably won't be a word of mouth thing, so they'll go see Superman just because that's probably the most known, you know, superhero of all time. So they'll see it, but some of this other stuff they're banking on, I'm like, woof, y'all are kind of risking it, because we knew Captain America, we knew Thor, we knew the Hulk, we knew Iron Man.
Yeah.
But man, y'all are kind of risking it with some of these people. Like, okay, well, I give you.
Well, yeah, I was saying like what you're saying, like some of these that James Gunn is putting in this first iteration is really obscure comic book characters that I was not even aware of.
Yeah.
So they're part of this overall plan, you guys. But like you said, Superman Legacy is what it's going to be called. And Henry Cavill is out as Superman. And James Gunn said, we didn't fire him. He was never hired for this version that we're telling. James Gunn is writing the script. He's probably also going to direct, but he says it has not been decided on, but I'm willing to bet anything that he will end up directing.
Yeah.
So what
they got
we
a lot
know,
riding on that.
Yeah. But like, what is your opinion of, and we talk about Ezra Miller a lot on this podcast. So they're still really like, even in this presentation and the interviews, they said, we are still, we think The Flash, which is this movie that Ezra Miller did, you know, now it's like 2 years ago. We think it's one of the best superhero movies that we've ever seen, even though they keep having to rejigger it because it's going to set off the whole extended universe that they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
But Ezra Miller has mental issues. He's also there's been kidnapping. There's been alleged assault. All of these charges they have. What do you think about them still fully behind Ezra Miller at this point?
It is wild. This is something I rant about probably on a weekly basis, because it's wild to me that so little gets kind of punished nowadays. Like other people, we've seen like Marvel, Warner Brothers, whoever, we've seen people cut ties for much less than Ezra Miller's done, and it's simply for the fact that they don't want this movie to tank. Now they're counting on this movie to be like the catalyst of the new DCU and all of this stuff. So it's like, are we, you know, as we as the fans, are we gonna have to make a choice? We're gonna have to say, okay, am I willing to put aside all of this, put all my principles aside, because this has been a lot of crap over the past 2 years that Ezra Miller has gotten into. Am I putting all this aside? Am I going to see this movie in theater? Am I going to pour into it, support? Will I wait for it to come out on whatever? Or am I just going to wait for the new DCU to come out and just start with Superman Legacy? Or what's the case? Because man, I try so hard not to, like, because I feel like I get on a soapbox about Ezra Miller weekly, but I'm refusing to do it. But it's too much. It's been way too many second chances at Warner Brothers. And it's not just like them saying, oh my God, we want to pour into you, we want to help you get better, we want to do this and that. It's like, no, we're counting on this movie to be successful so that we can stay successful when James Gunn takes over and does all this stuff. So it's Warner Brothers shows their hands way too much.
Yeah, supposedly the last scene in this movie is going to set off the DC Extended Universe that James Gunn talked about at the presentation. Mm-hmm. I just think it is hysterical that you're doing this big rejiggering of the whole movie slate and the whole DC universe, which includes comic books, video games, amusement rides, everything they are under. And they're saying, okay, yeah, let's still keep investing in this person that has proven time and time. And I'm not saying I don't want help for Ezra Miller. Go get your mental health on, like, please, like, fix whatever is going on. But the fact that they said, yeah, it's not, you know, we're going to revisit it after this movie comes out. And I'm like, that to me is a potential disaster you're already starting off with, because even if this movie is amazing, mm-hmm. you're shackled. It's like Salt Lake with Jen Shaw. You're still shackled to Ezra Miller and what mm-hmm. they've done. And how do you then put him on a talk show? How do you put them on a press junket? How do you do this? And I know, and what pisses me off is that they have Michael Keaton coming back as Batman in the multiverse. They have Ben Affleck's Batman, but Michael Keaton's Batman means so much. They already canceled Batgirl, which is a $90 million movie that they said was unreleasable. They already filmed it, you guys. That will never see the light of the day. They burned the print of that movie, supposedly. Ooh. And they said it was unreleasable. They said Warner Brothers had really, that was a very brave decision because it would not have helped our cause. It would have hurt our cause. And I'm like, that would have hurt your cause, but Ezra Miller did not hurt your cause? Like,
right. What? And think about some of the projects you've released. Now you're playing in our faces because that was unreleasable, but some of the other stuff that you've given us over the past 5-6 years, that's what you're kissing and saying, oh, that's what we're putting our hat on. We're hanging our hats there. That was an amazing project. Like, come on, for the people that released Black Adam, like the people that released the original Suicide, like there's a lot of stuff that we can point back to.
By the way, The Rock is pretty much out of the DCU, and Rock got pissed. He unfollowed DC, Warner Brothers, David Zaslav. He was like, fuck you guys, because The Rock, that was one of his dreams, was to do this Black Adam character. Mm-hmm. And they're like, sorry. And so it's really interesting. Now, I do want to make it, like you said earlier, is that they are going to have, I think, what is it called? DC Prestige, or it's films that will be taking place outside of the DCU. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, so they're going to have a Batman in the extended universe that is not Robert Pattinson, and it's not Ben Affleck, and it's not Michael Keaton. It's going to be a new person, but they will continue for the time being to release the Robert Pattinson Batman 2, directed by what's his name, who was great.
Matt Reeves. Is it
Matt Reeves? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is, but that's going to take place outside of the universe. And they say those films are going to be held to a much higher, they're going to be almost art house films in a way, because and I'm like, shit, why don't you have the whole DCU be those type of films?
Right.
Those are good films. Why, so you're saying kind of the DC is going to be a little, the DCU is going to be more, not silly, but it's going to be more accessible, I'm guessing, is what they're saying.
That's what it sounds like to me. And one, I want to go on record. I'm super happy that we're continuing with Robert Pattinson's Batman, because I rewatched that movie.
Amazing.
Often. Amazing. So good. So I'm happy for that. And when you think about it, Marvel does kind of the same thing, but not because they want to. It's because they sold so many damn properties that now they're trying to get them all back. And, you know, Sony's like, I gotcha, bitch. And so now they're
trying to release. Yeah, because Sony owns Spider-Man, you guys. Yes. So every time Spider-Man appears in their movies, they have to make this kind of deal with mm-hmm. Marvel. Like, so it's like this really interesting thing. They have to keep scratching each other's backs. for the greater good of what the fans want. So this is Gods and Monsters. We're going to have Flash that will set everything off. Then you have Blue Beetle, I think. And then there's like a third project that will be, and then Superman Legacy will be the first Shazam. In 2024. Oh yeah, Shazam 2. Yeah. Rise of the Gods, which by the way, we have another kind of, because Zachary Levi, who plays Shazam, all of a sudden came out as anti-vax last week. So DC just killing it on who, like literally there must be an email that did not go around of like, hey guys, could you shut the fuck up about everything, your personal beliefs, just until your movies get released? Like, honestly, like what, this Zachary, like, I was like, no, like, you idiots, like, this is just stop. Like, listen, if you, I don't care if you're pro Trump, I mean, like, I care, but like, just don't talk about it. You have like, in business, you've got to think about business. You've got to think about, you're trying to sell something, and nobody wants to hear, Republican or Democrat, your views on the vaccine as an actor promoting a superhero film.
Exactly. And he
could be wrong.
Boy, he, that was one that surprised me, because Zachary, first of all, because I think Shazam is probably one of the best things that came out of that. It is. It's such a fun movie. And I think most people, like, it's for everybody too. Adults, kid, like, everybody kind of loves that kind of movie. So Zach, you gotta chill, bro. Like, you're doing a lot. And then, like, there was this, did you hear the random story about, you know, his real last name is Pew, but he changed it to Levi. He went by his middle name or something, like, have you heard that story?
No, I didn't know.
So, boy, oh boy. So, according, I forgot what website I read, so, but there's like, it's been a story going around saying that apparently he changed his name. I think Levi is his middle name, and he didn't want Pew is like his official Hollywood last name, which is his real name, because according to him, quote unquote, it didn't sound Jewish enough. So apparently Levi did. I don't know where this came
and,
from.
And Zachary, by the way, is a Christian, I believe.
Yes, which is all just out of, who knows, but that story coupled with the one you just told, it's like, it's a lot. It's a week for Zach Levi.
Well, I listened to his book that was like a self-help book that he really, and I really, really responded to it. So this kind of was like a bummer to find out all of these other views that he did not talk about in the, but that's the thing, Kendrick, is that like, that's the hard part about sharing these personal views, is that it really truly can turn off or turn on a fan base of like, it can take somebody from really liking somebody to somebody going, you know what? I don't need another person in my life that like has like differing opinions, you know, like, I don't know if I need that stress, which you shouldn't think of when you think about superhero films, but anyways,
right.
Superman Legacy will be the first film then after those that kicks everything into high gear, they say. And then the first Batman in this universe will be Batman and Robin, called The Brave and the Bold. And this is a comic book title that I loved. And Robin in this is not the Robin that you're used to. You guys don't read the comics, but in the comics, there's been multiple different Robins. And this one is Damian, Batman's son. Batman actually has a son named Damian, and Damian is like this little shit Robin. He's a smart ass killer kid. And so that's going to be the story they're going to tell. Did it surprise you at all that Batman doesn't wear a condom?
It definitely does. First of all, anybody that rich that doesn't wear a condom just shocks me anyway, because I'm trying to wait until I'm 99 to have a child, so that I'm like, okay, now I'm dead, now you can have the money, but until then I'm gonna
enjoy. That Batman was going around not wear, like, he's like, it doesn't feel good without, like, let me just put the tip in. Like, I love that Batman, like, think he Batman kept the costume on. Oh, hell yeah. He was just like, well, by the way, in the, what, there's one comic, you guys, where he does have sex with Catwoman, and they graphically, there's one, I think it's called Batman Unholy or Batman. There's a, it's a graphic novel, but they actually show Batman's dick.
Oh shit. I have not
Batman,
seen
the
that.
Damned.
Wait, do you remember this random? It was the most random shit in the world, but like, do you remember this article came out? It had to have been during the height of COVID, because this was like during the Clubhouse days, But there was an article that came out. Somebody said that Batman doesn't go down. Like, did you hear that? He doesn't, him and Catwoman, something like, it was a whole thing. Like, people rioted on the internet. Like, no, my Batman goes down. Like, what are you talking about? It was a whole thing.
By the way, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Kea, even like from Bravo We're Black, texted me about this years ago. I mean, I'm pretty sure this sounds like something she would be. And listen, my Batman and my Batman universe does go down on women. My Absolutely. Batman has no problem with it. So that's going to be the first iteration of Batman. Then we also have a Swamp Thing feature. Now, Swamp Thing is a DC property, really an interesting choice. That's actually, they just announced today, will be directed by James Mangold. And James Mangold is directing the new Indiana Jones, but he's also been around. He did Walk the Line. He's really just a director. He's a really good director. So I'm curious to see what his Swamp Thing is. Then they're going to have Supergirl. And then they're going to have this DC rogue squad called the Authority. Now, I wasn't familiar with the Authority, but it sounds like the Watchmen a little bit.
Yeah, from what that's kind of what first came to mind, too, when I read about it, because I'm much bigger into Marvel comics than I am to DC. Like, normally when I read DC, I'm not reading like the popular like kind of stuff. I kind of like the one off stuff, but I've never really dived into the Authority. So, I mean, I'm willing to, you know,
I exclusively read Batman. I exclusively read Batman comics. Like, honestly, in fact, I checked out a Batman comic from the library this week and I was like reading it on my iPad. And it was like, you know, I was like, this is great. I can read comics and you can like zoom in on the frames to see the art. It's actually really cool. So they have that, which is like an interesting choice that I wasn't aware of. They also have an animated series called Creature Commandos, written by James Gunn. And you have the Peacemaker spinoff, which is Viola Davis returning to her role as Amanda Waller in Waller. Now, Amanda Waller was the one that put the Suicide Squad together. She was in Batman and Superman. And of course, Viola Davis, you know, she's good in everything. So I'm shocked she is doing this, but good. And then also, they're doing finally a Green Lantern series, but it's a TV series called Lanterns about, it's supposed to be kind of like a, Green Lanterns is like a space corp, you guys. And they have this ring, but there's Hal Jordan. And then who's John the other Stewart. One I'm thinking about that it involves? But John Stewart from The Daily Show. And it's supposed to, they kind of said it's like a true detective in space, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's like a detective. And then Booster Gold, who I remember reading in the 80s, which is like a really funny comic book of a smartass guy using basic future technology. He's kind of like a less talented Iron Man, if you will. And that's going to be a comedic project. And then a project called Paradise Lost, which was, I believe, a graphic novel as well. So this is supposedly the first
Jim Mascara. Paradise Lost.
Which is, by the way, the island where Wonder Woman is set in. Now, Gal Gadot is supposedly not back as Wonder Woman, and in this slate of films, they do not have Wonder Woman. So this is kind of interesting. There's some like Superman, of course. I'm really curious how you make Superman interesting again. But I don't know. This is the slate. So overall, what did you think? And do you have a positive vibe about the whole thing?
So I've been trying to be as positive as possible because I'm like, okay, James Gunn, he really hasn't steered me too wrong in the past. Like, the only thing that he's done that I really didn't like was, this might be an unpopular opinion, I didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Love Part 1, but I wasn't really a fan of the second one, but love the Suicide Squad, love Peacemaker. Like, that was probably one of my favorite projects of last year. It's crazy to think that was just last year, but so I'm willing to give it, you know, a shot or whatever, but I think that Superman
Legacy... He did Guardians 3, which comes out pretty soon, and the preview looks good for Guardians 3,
Yeah, so I'm super excited. He's giving us Adam Warlock, so I'm happy about all that. So I'm optimistic, which I haven't been about anything DC related ever. Yeah. You know, it's been a long time. So I'm optimistic. And I think that he's going to have to knock it out of the park with Superman Legacy. Cause one, we're glad it's not an origin story. We've heard that origin since we were children. And since your children had, we've all heard that origin story. We don't need that anymore. So whatever this chooses to be, I'm happy for it. But you've got to pick the right actor. Cause now this person is just going to get, you know, compared to Henry Cavill for the rest of his day. So you've got to pick the perfect actor, which is going to be no shot. So have you thought about that? Like, who do you think would make a good Superman? Maybe I've heard like Jacob Elordi thrown around, and other people like that?
I don't know. I think Jacob Elordi would be a boring choice to me. I don't
love him, but Superman, he's not the best actor.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. I like him on Euphoria. I just, you know, not I don't know. Choice. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know the new crop of young actors like I should, you know, like they've got to find somebody really special. And it's, I remember when Bryan Singer, you know, did his version of Superman. And who did he pick? He picked, who was
Roth,
that guy?
Right. Brandon Roth.
Brandon Routh. Brandon, yeah, yeah. Brandon Ruth or Routh. And, you know, he didn't really bring it the way that it was supposed to. And also I think there's an exhaustion with the Superman character that I'm kind of like, okay, like how are you going to make the suit different? How are you going to make you know, it's like we said, like we talked about on your show, which comes out on Monday, you know, like, you know, I think we've seen Batman's parents die so many times. Like we've seen Superman, like, yeah, yes, you're from Krypton. Yes. You're an alien out here in planet Earth. Like you're a good guy. Like, I don't know. How do you make that interesting when you're so powerful? Like, how do you make, right? I don't know. How do you tell that story in a different way?
And you can't. So you've got to really figure it out. My opinion,
and also with an unknown Daily Planet actor. Yeah, right. I the Daily Planet thing also is like, once we get, it's like, man, just because you put on glasses, we can still fucking see that you're Superman, idiot. Like there's never been a time where I'm like, how not close are people looking at these people? Like, I'm like, yeah, right, that's fucking Superman. Like literally that super, like this guy would be stopped every day. I'm like, you look a lot like Superman. There's no way. Like that shit might've flown in the 70s, you know, but I'm sorry. Like you've got to find a different way to have this secret identity and find a way to have some sort of life.
Yep. And you got to tell if you're going to put Lois in it or what you're going to, because, you know, there are some things that are just instrumental to the story that I think people are going to expect. So you got to figure, he's got a road to climb. He's got to go down that road, and well, he knows how to come out.
We also have a road to climb as well, Kendrick, in doing the podcasting that we do weekly and your podcast, Reality and Comics Too. I'm telling you guys, if you are not familiar with Kendrick, get familiar. I'm telling you, the show I did with him on Monday is so flipping good. I was only planning on doing 30 minutes here and we went way over that. So it's just, it's great conversations with him and everybody, all the people you already know. So go over, subscribe, rate it 5 stars, all of that stuff. What do you got coming up on there besides me?
So I'm hoping to talk to some people. I've had some great guests so far. You know, y'all love Kaya on here. So Kaya has been on recently. I want to get her and Aaron on at the same time. It's so hard trying to get both of them on at the same time.
I think they're the same person.
They might be.
You can never really get them in the same...
It's so hard, but I've had them on recently. Stephanie from the Mocha Minutes podcast was just on. I love her every time. Just some great guests coming up. I got a guy coming on who works for comicbook.com. And we're talking about like all things, you know, Wakanda Forever just came out on Disney Plus, so y'all can finally watch that. Yeah. And so it's all good. So we're talking about that. We're getting people ready for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. We're doing some.
I can't wait to see that. Those previews make the Ant-Man movie look really good.
Yes.
And I don't want to get too like psyched, but I'm like, that looks really. And I think it's the use of the Elton John song in the trailer, and it'll be the introduction of Kang. And by the way, Kang is going to be the villain in the next whole. This sets off that whole storyline, like you know, we had with the Gauntlet,
Thanos,
the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, Thanos and stuff. Okay, so Kendrick Sampson. Kendrick Turner, you know, Kendrick Tucker, you guys, Reality and Comics 2 on Monday. I will be on there and I'm telling you, it is a great conversation. So go listen to it. I'll remind you guys again on Monday. And thanks a lot for doing this, dude. These were both amazing conversations.
Absolutely. And come back anytime. I'm willing to come back anytime. It's always good catching
anytime
up
you need me. I'm here.
Absolutely. There we go.
Betches.